from the bookshop over there. Just take one for free. And it's a series called Follow Me. And we're asking the question, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? What does it really mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple? These phrases, these words are words that we use all the time, don't we, if we're familiar with church. But what does it actually mean? We know that it's very easy to go to church and to even to use the label of Christian, but to not be following Jesus. A recent study in the United States revealed that just 7% of churchgoers were actually following Jesus by any of the obvious marks of what it means to follow Jesus. And I imagine the same is fairly true over the sea. And I think that's sad, because Jesus did not invite us to do church, but he invited us to follow him with other people in community. He invited us to live a life of adventure with others. And I don't want us to miss out on that. I don't want us as a church to simply do church. But my heart for Holy Trinity is that we would be a group of people together learning what it means to follow Jesus. Are you up for that? Does that sound good? Great. Today I want to talk about healing. And I want to suggest that healing should be a normal part of the Christian life for everyone. That each one of us can have stories of God healing in our lives and bringing healing to others. When we think about healing, perhaps we tend to think it's kind of for a niche group of people who like to do that sort of thing over here. But the mainstream of Christianity is kind of like, okay, take it or leave it. I want to say that's not quite right. I want to say everybody gets to play with this ministry. And when the local church wakes up to that, that everybody gets to play with healing ministry, then the church comes alive. And it's one of the key ways that unlocks the kingdom of God coming amongst us. It is so exciting to be part of a community like that. So I hope that today is going to help each one of us, wherever we might be at with this, to take a step forward. So I want to ask three questions as we look at healing and unpack this passage a little bit. Why pray for healing, first of all? What happens when God doesn't heal? That's always the thing in people's mind when we bring it up. And we're going to look at that. And then how to pray for healing, some of the practical things. And then, obviously, we can't talk about healing without actually having a go. So we're going to give an opportunity to pray for healing. So if you've come and you need prayer today, Margaret's cough, we need to pray for that. And anyone else will be praying for healing. Okay, so why pray for healing? Over my years of ministry so far, I've been privileged to see God do some amazing things when it comes to healing. I think of one time before a church service, and I was praying just to ask the Lord if there's anything specific he wanted to do that morning in that community. And I got these pains in my index finger and in my middle finger of my left hand. And I thought, that's a little bit strange, but that's sometimes how God speaks to me, through sympathy pains. And so I just wrote those things down, and I wrote a few other things down. And then I was speaking that morning, and after the talk, I just read out a few things that I felt God had said that he might want to minister to. And as soon as I said about these fingers, a lady put up her hand. I found out later her name was Hannah Lee. She hadn't really come to church before. She was just kind of vaguely interested, and she was so amazed that it was quite a large church. A lot of people were there, but she said, "That's me, that's me. The person with pain in their fingers is me." And so I got to pray with Hannah Lee, and she was healed. And the amazing thing was, she actually had a law exam that week. And she was very, very anxious about the pain in her hand because she was left-handed and she had to do this law exam. So she was healed and she came back months later and told us she'd passed the exam as well. I love it when God works like that. I think of a guy called Douglas. Douglas had severe back pain for a number of months one summer, came to church in September and asked for prayer for his back. I prayed for his back. Do you feel anything different, Douglas? No, not a thing. And went away feeling a little bit despondent. And then the next week, Douglas came back and said he'd been healed. Sometimes God works like that. I think of my friend Bernie. Bernie had cancer. And over the pandemic, he got COVID, which meant he was basically on death's door. And the church rallied around Bernie and prayed for him. We had, I remember these prayer meetings on Zoom again and again over a number of months to pray for Bernie, for his healing. He was a young man, he had a young family, and the doctors really had given up hope. And as we prayed, eventually Bernie turned a corner and he was completely healed of cancer and COVID, and the doctors could do nothing else than give credit to the Almighty. And in this church, over the last few years, we've had testimonies, a number of testimonies of people being healed. And when we hear those testimonies, just as we did this morning, it raises joy and it raises faith God would do more. Why pray for healing? Because I believe with all my heart that God heals today. God heals today. He loves to bring healing into our lives. A good question to ask is, okay, is it scriptural? Where is this in the Bible? And in our passage we had read today, we have two stories of Jesus bringing healing. We had the story of the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. She had menstrual difficulties. And Jesus, in his grace and his compassion, transforms her life and brings healing. And we have a story of a raising from the dead. Jairus' daughter, a Jewish leader, comes to Jesus. And Jesus loves Jairus, shows him great compassion, and heals his daughter. If we look through Mark's gospel again and again, we see stories of healing. Jesus heals of leprosy. We have the story of Jesus healing the paralyzed man. Do you remember that story? His friends gather him, put him on the roof where Jesus was preaching, make a hole, lower this man down. Jesus heals the paralyzed man. We have a number of stories of Jesus healing blindness. Jesus heals people internally, if you like. He frees them from demonic oppression. It's very, very hard to read the Gospels, is what I'm trying to say, and miss the fact that Jesus heals. It's like the Gospel writers want us to see something very clear, that healing was a huge part of the ministry of Jesus. In fact, it's often summed up in this way, the ministry of Jesus, that he preached the kingdom of God, he healed the sick, and he cast out demons. To summarize what Jesus was doing in his 3 years of earthly life, that's a pretty good summary. Preaching the kingdom, healing the sick, and casting out demons. And that's the mandate that Jesus has passed on to his church. Does the church look like that? Does it look like that's what the church is about? Or do we sometimes drift into being worried about other things? In John 14, verse 9, Jesus says this: anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus wants us to know that we learn what God is like, not simply from our own ideas, but it's revealed. We have a revealed faith. And Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father, to reveal what the Father is all alike, is like. And so if we see Jesus bringing healing into people's lives, we know that is what God does. That's his character. That's what he longs to do. John Coles, a leader in North London for many years and part of the New Wine movement, he put it like this: anyone who studies the Gospels and sees Jesus healing the sick is seeing the eternal heartbeat of the Father. And I love that. Healing is God's heartbeat. That's what God is like. He loves to heal. We can get all sorts of funny ideas about God. And often those ideas come from our circumstances. They come from funny places. But we need to have our eyes on Jesus. And if we have our eyes on Jesus, we see who he is, that he's a God of love and grace and mercy, and he's a God who loves to heal. And so as we encounter God, then part of our stories, all our stories, is going to be experiencing healing in some way, shape, or form. Part of my story is finding healing. In my early 20s, I suffered a lot from anxiety and depression, and I can say God brought healing into my life. He's transformed my life. And that should be normal, should be expected, because that's what God does. He heals. A quick look at the Old Testament, we see this character of healing. One of the names of God. There's a number of names of God given in the Old Testament. Jehovah Jireh, God who provides. There's also Jehovah Rapha, I am the God who heals you. We see that in Exodus chapter 15, when God's people in the wilderness and they need healing, they need sustenance. I think it's just before they need food, and he provides manna from heaven. I am the God who heals you. That's in his name, it's his character. And so we see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the ministry of Jesus. And I believe what Jesus was doing in his ministry was not only embodying the kingdom of God. He was not only bringing the kingdom of God there and then, but he was modeling to his disciples and to you and me what it looks like to be an ambassador of the kingdom, to follow him, so that when Jesus ascended, his church could continue that ministry after he had gone. And we see that through the book of Acts, and I believe that is our mandate for today. So maybe we're happy with that so far. Why pray for healing? Because God's heart is to heal, and he's passed that mandate on to us. But what happens, the big question, what happens when God doesn't heal? And I'd imagine that all of us could come back and say, yeah, but I had this situation where I prayed for healing and it didn't happen. What was God doing then? How do I reconcile that? And when we have those experiences, it can be very tempting to think, you know what, I'm just not going to bother. It's just too kind of difficult to live in that place. What I've discovered is that we have to learn to live in this paradox of the kingdom being here. So Jesus says in Mark 1, we saw last week, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom has gone, come, but it's not come in its fullness. One day when Jesus comes back, the kingdom will come in its fullness, and the whole world will be made new, and every prayer for healing, if you like, will be answered. But we live in the tension between it being here and not here, and coming, it's coming. And we live in the what's sometimes called the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. A number of years ago, I was leading an Alpha course, and on this Alpha course came a young man called Sean. And Sean was not a Christian, but he came to church, he came on Alpha, yes, to find out about faith, but he wanted to be healed. He was a young guy, I think in his early 30s, he had a young son, or his son was actually born, I think, during Alpha. And he was a great football player, used to play for QPR in the junior teams. And he had stage 4 cancer, and he wanted to be healed. And I loved getting to know Sean, and as we did Alpha every Wednesday evening and got to know each other a little bit better, and eventually Sean became a Christian, and he gave his life to Christ. And we had the Holy Spirit Day is part of Alpha, and he came on the Holy Spirit Day, and a number of us have prayed for Sean before for healing. And on the Holy Spirit Day, we prayed for him. We prayed for healing a number of us. With all the faith that we could muster, we prayed. And I went home and I prayed in my quiet times. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for healing. And a number of the church gathered around Sean and prayed. And after Alpha, I guess it could only have been a few weeks after Alpha finished, Sean died. And I was asked to lead his funeral, and I had to stand in front of his coffin, and all his friends and family gathered around, and then I had to bury him, and people put QPR shirts in the ground and said tributes to Sean, what an amazing guy he was. And at his funeral, his little boy was there with his partner, who spoke beautifully about him. But that was such a hard funeral to do. And I remember going home and then in my quiet time the next morning just crying and saying, Lord, why? Why did Sean have to die? We had faith for his healing. I've seen people healed. I've seen people healed of cancer. Why couldn't you heal Sean? And as I felt the Lord's love and comfort and presence, I resolved at that moment to not let it stop me keeping going and praying for healing, because that's the danger, is that we experience something of the not yet of the kingdom, and this will be true for all of us, and we just think, oh, it's too painful, I can't really go there, I'm not going to do it. And I want to encourage us to keep on pursuing this ministry, even with the tension of that paradox of living in the now and the not yet. John Wimber was the founder of the Vineyard movement and helped the church, not just the Vineyard church, but the Anglican church as well, to grow in this gift of healing. And in his ministry, he saw thousands of people healed. And he once said this, I would rather pray for 1,000 people, even if only one gets healed, then not pray for any and no get healed. And I ask that that would be true of us as well, that we would have that same determination and tenacity to see healing. You could put it another way. If you pray for thousands, you'll see hundreds get healed. If you pray for hundreds, you'll see tens get healed. If you pray for no one, how many are you going to see get healed? None. We have to learn to sit in the tension of the now and the not yet, the mystery of that. Why in certain situations God heals and certain situations he doesn't, I don't know. But there's something about carrying that dissatisfaction. There's something about sitting in that restlessness that I think is important. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. So why pray for healing? What do we do when God doesn't heal? And then finally, how to pray for healing. And just briefly, I want to just quickly look through our passage and just bring four things that we see, four ingredients that I think we can cultivate as we seek to step out in being a healing church. So the first one is love. Sam, if we could have the slide up, that would be great. The other slide. The first one, Sam finds that the first one is love. What did Jesus call the woman who was bleeding in verse 34? What did he say when the woman came up to him who'd been healed, he was bleeding? He says this, daughter, your faith has healed you. I love that. Jesus calls this woman daughter. He was revealing the Father's love for her. He was revealing the truth about her, that she was a dearly beloved daughter of the King. He didn't shame her, but he esteemed her. He lifted her up. And it was the Father's love that motivated Jesus in his ministry and every healing that he did, we often see that Jesus was full of compassion. It says that often in the Gospels. He looked at the crowd and he was full of compassion. A little earlier on in Mark's Gospel, there's a man with leprosy who comes to Jesus and says, "If you're willing, you can heal me." What does Jesus say? "I am willing." He's full of love. "Daughter, your faith has healed you." I love that. And when we step forward in healing, love is the thing that kind of undergirds it all. When Paul talks about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, in the middle of it we have 1 Corinthians 13. Do you know it? Which is all about love, right? So he's saying we can't exercise the spiritual gifts without love. He says, if I do all these wonderful things, if I speak in tongues, if I prophesy, it's all like a clanging noise, a clanging cymbal. It's nothing without love. And the same is true for us. So as we step into healing, the first ingredient we need to have is to ask for the Father's love for that person. And then secondly, the second ingredient is power. Verse 30. When the lady touches Jesus, we read this: "At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, 'Who touched my clothes?'" Power had gone from him. And Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're told at the beginning of his ministry, he went into the wilderness and he came back filled with the Holy Spirit. And Luke's gospel literally says the power of the Holy Spirit, the dynamos, dynamite of the Holy Spirit. And so this means if we're going to live this lifestyle, we too need to ask constantly for the filling of the Spirit's power. And then thirdly, the third ingredient, we've got love, power, authority. Jesus prayed with authority. Verse 41. How does Jesus pray? We're told as he goes to Jairus, his daughter's room, he took the little girl by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And I want you to notice how he prays, because this is the model of prayer for healing. There's different types of prayer. This is the model of prayer that Jesus has given to us as we pray for healing. And it's the way that his disciples prayed for healing in the book of Acts. And it's a prayer of command. So you notice Jesus doesn't pray a prayer of petition here. He doesn't say, "Well, God, we know that you're so good and you're great and you can heal. So if you wouldn't mind, would you please heal this little girl?" He doesn't say that, which is often the way that we pray for healing. He's got authority because he's the king. And so he prays, "Be healed." But it's interesting that his followers then do exactly the same thing as they pray for healing. Because as we pray, we stand in the authority of Jesus. Jesus gives us authority. We're told in Luke chapter 9 and 10 that Jesus sends them out, the 12 and the 72, with power and authority to heal sickness, and to cast out demons, to proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus in his ministry had authority over all the D's: disobedience, sin, darkness, death. He had authority over disease because he is the king. And as we pray, and we pray in Jesus' name, we pray with his authority. So let me encourage you to pray that prayer of command. Be healed in Jesus' name. That's how we pray. So if I was praying for Margaret and I was praying for her cough, I wouldn't pray, "Lord, we know that you're great and you do pray, you do heal. And so we pray, Lord, if you wouldn't mind to heal Margaret." But I'm going to simply say, "Be healed in Jesus' name. Cough be gone in Jesus' name." We pray with authority. And then the fourth ingredient is faith. And you don't need to be a scholar to realize that faith is really important to Jesus. Again and again, Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." And he says that doesn't he, to this woman in verse 34. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Faith seems to be an important part of the equation. And I love this. Technically, by the law, this woman was unclean. If we go by the Jewish law, she was bleeding. Yet she goes right up to this Jewish rabbi and touches him. It's like everything about the law says, no, you shouldn't be doing that. But her faith trumps that, and his love trumps that. As James says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Faith is the key when it comes to kingdom ministry, it seems. And in the story of the little girl, Jesus creates this faith environment. So he goes to Jairus' house, and everyone's wailing and crying because the girl has died. And Jesus says, why all this commotion? The child is not dead, but asleep. He's clearly seeing things completely differently. He's got a faith mindset on. And then I love what he does. He puts them all out. He says, I can't be doing with all this crying and this wailing. And so he puts them out the room, and he goes into the room with Peter, James, and John. He creates a faith environment. He removes what is stealing faith. He removes what is quenching faith. And he seeks to build up a faith environment. And for us, we can do that as well. We can create that environment. We create that environment by telling stories, through worship, through lifting up our eyes to God and remembering who he is. Dwelling on the problem and cynicism does not create a faith environment. So faith seems to be important in healing ministry. So four things: love, power, authority, and faith. And then before we step out and we have an opportunity to pray, I just want to give a simple model. And there are many models, but I want to give a model because it enables us to step into this ministry. Sometimes it can be hard to know where to start. So Sam, if you could put that slide on the screen, that'd be great. So a model for healing. First of all, Rory, would you just be a model for my model? Thank you. Come forward. So I'm going to ask the person, so I'm going to invite them to come forward. And the way we do it here is we invite people just to come to the front, stand with their eyes closed and hands out. And that's just so that they feel really relaxed and they can receive in an easy way. And so if you would do that, that's great. And then I might just put a hand on the shoulder if it's appropriate and just ask, is there anything I could pray for? Is there anything in particular you've come up for? Now, the answer that you give, I would just encourage to be as short as possible. We don't need a whole, like, medical history. The person, certainly, I don't know much about medicine. I just need to know what to pray for, particularly. So Rory might say his shoulder is hurting. And so I put my hand on his shoulder. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. I'm going to thank the Lord that he loves Rory, because we want everyone to go away, whether they're healed or not, knowing that they're loved and that they're honored. And if they're healed or not, if they go away knowing that they're loved, then that's a win. And so I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to simply speak healing in Jesus' name to the shoulder. Be healed in Jesus' name. And then I might wait a few moments. I might listen to the Lord. Is there anything that he wants to say to Rory? And that's about it. And then I'm just going to say, Rory, do you feel any different? Oh, that's great. He says absolutely. He might say no. He might say no. And then we've got the opportunity to pray again. Sometimes we pray multiple times. Sometimes the healing comes as we leave. But that's basically all it is. Thank you. Let me just go back to my original statement. I want to suggest that exercising healing should be a normal part of the Christian life for everyone. Normal part of life in the local church. And as we step forward in this, that's so exciting, because we're going to be a church of stories, and we're going to be a church that sees God's kingdom come amongst us. And this isn't just a one-time thing. This isn't just something that we're going to do for this week and then we'll forget about it next week. But my prayer is that this would just be a first step, and that becomes part of the culture of what we're doing at HT. So can I invite you to stand? invite the band to come up.